Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tzachim is daf Nun Tes. We started yesterday with daf Nun Ches, and we started yesterday the fifth parak of Tzachim, in which we shifted gears in the Masechta, and we are going to talk about the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach will be the topic of our discussion, basically, until we get to the tenth parak of Tzachim. So, the next five parakim of the Masechta is dedicated to Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is one of the integral parts of the Yontif of Pesach, as I mentioned yesterday. And I mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, the Masechta entitled Psachim really should be, but it's really about Erev Pesach. It's from Perek 1 through 9. It really is dedicated to the topic of Erev Pesach. Now, one of the highlights of Erev Pesach is that we shach the Karban Pesach. It's the 14th day of Nisan. It's not the 15th day of Nisan. We eat it on the 15th day of Nisan on Lel Yom Rishon, but really the Karban Shechta on Erev Pesach. So we are going to now continue into the fifth parak, and really our first discussion today is going to be a continuation of yesterday's discussion, and that's the following. So you remember yesterday I set up the entire discussion of the fifth parak with basically an outline, a timeline of the day. In other words, in a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the two Tamids, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Tamid Shel Shachar was offered in the morning, as indicated by Tamid Shel Shachar, and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim was offered in the afternoon. At what point in the afternoon? So the Torah does not say. The Torah just simply says offered in the afternoon. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, and it's going to be, and this idea is going to play a prominent part of today's daf, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim should be the last carbon of the day. There should be no carbon after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Not only should there not be, meaning it's, as we're going to learn in today's daf, it's an Isser, it's a prohibition of the Torah, that after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim is brought, that's it. The store is closed, Beis HaMikdash is closed. no carbonus after that. And the drasha itself, we're going to see later on, this morning, in terms of how we know that based on the Pesukim. Okay? That's the rule. Like every rule, there's an exception to the rule. And the big exception to the rule is the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach is offered after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. So now, basically, what we discussed yesterday is how do we schedule? Right? Yesterday was a day dedicated to the topic of scheduling. How do I schedule the day of Erev Pesach so that I'll have enough time to offer the Karban Pesach after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim? As we noted already a number of times, we're going to see later in these discussions how many Karban Pesachs are brought in Erev Pesach, in the thousands, in the hundreds of thousands. We could even project over a million. But in other words, there are a lot, right? Without being too specific in numbers, there are a lot of Karban Pesachs that need to be offered. So we want to open up the afternoon for Karban Pesach. So, on a normal day, the scheduling is 2:30 in the afternoon. Again, like I mentioned yesterday, let's assume a perfect day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., just so we can have an easy conversation in terms of times of the day. So, on a normal day, the Karban Tamid is offered at 2:30 in the afternoon. It takes a full hour to process it, so it goes from 2:30 to 3:30. So that means on a normal day, so I have till 2:30 in the afternoon to offer any Karban I want. And then after 3:30 in the afternoon, we're done, meaning we can't offer any more carbonates. That's on a regular day. What's the scheduling for Shabbos on a regular Shabbos? So, as we discussed, could possibly be a machlokas tanayim. Okay, but I'll tell you what, let's leave that out of the discussion for now. What about an Erev Pesach? So an Erev Pesach, what's our scheduling going to look like? So, as we discussed yesterday, what we want to do is we want to move the Karban Pesach earlier to make more time in the afternoon. So how much earlier? So it depends what kind of Erev Pesach we're talking about. A regular Erev Pesach? So we're going to bump it up by 1 hour. So in other words, on a regular Erev Pesach, we're going to bump it up to 1:30, meaning the Tamid is going to be at 1:30, 1:30 to 2:30, and then after 2:30, we're going to now start offering the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's on a regular one. Why not bump it up all the way to 12:30? So as we discussed yesterday, because we still want to give some time for people to bring their personal karbanos on Erev Pesach, so therefore we don't bump it up all the way to 12:30. What about on Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos? So the Mishnah taught us. So there, we're going to take the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, we're going to bump it up all the way to 12:30, finishing at 1:30, and that'll give us the entirety of the afternoon. Why do we do that on Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos? So there, as we discussed yesterday, because on Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos, we have two major activities that need to be done before Shabbos. We have to shech the Karban Pesach, and with all the avodas, with all that's attached to avodas, and we need to start roasting the Karban Pesach, because we're not allowed to roast the Karban Pesach on Shabbos itself. So because of those two major activities, so therefore we want to free up the entire afternoon. So therefore the Tamid is offered at 12:30, finished at 1:30, and now we're going to receive the remainder of the afternoon. Okay. Adkan, that is a basic outline of what we did yesterday. Now, further discussion of what we did yesterday, the remainder of yesterday's daf was dedicated to a b'risa. If you look back on Nunchesim and Aleph, so the b'risa is very short and the b'risa is very ambiguous. What does the b'risa say? The b'risa can be found right in the middle of Nunchesim and Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan, I'm just reviewing. Kisidur b'chol, kach sidur b'shabbos, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says, you know what the Shabbos schedule is? The same as the weekday schedule. Now, again, we're not given a lot of context in this b'risa, so quite frankly, we're not even sure what the b'risa is even talking about. But assuming that it's talking about Erev Pesach, so essentially, what the b'risa means is that whatever your Erev Pesach schedule is during, if it falls out during the week, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, same schedule. Div Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and Rabbi Kiva Omer Kisidur Erev Pesach, and Rabbi Kiva says no, the schedule is going to be like the Erev Pesach schedule. Okay, that's the b'risa. Now, what does the b'risa mean? So that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf brought to us three different explanations of what the b'risa meant. Abai's explanation, Rava's explanation, and the third one of Rabba Bar Ula. Now, Rabba Bar Ula, for our purposes, I'm just not going to go over, because he says that it has nothing to do with Erev Pesach, it has to do with a general discussion of what's your Shabbat schedule in general. Okay, but in other words, but for our purposes right now, let's just quickly review Abai and Rava. How do Abai and Rava explain the b'risas? So Abai's explanation of the b'risa is that, or again, the discussion is what happens when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. What's going to be the schedule of Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos? So Rabbi Yishmael says schedule does not change. It's your regular Erev Pesach schedule. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? Erev Pesach, the Tamid is moved up 1 hour. So instead of being offered at 2:30 in the afternoon, it's offered at 1:30 in the afternoon. On Shabbos Erev Pesach, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so same. It's going to be at, the Tamid is at 1:30 in the afternoon, finished at 2:30, and then we have the balance of the afternoon. Now, why would Shabbos be any different? The answer is very simple. The only reason why we had the Tamid bumped up to 1:30, not to 12:30, is because we wanted to give a little more time between the Tamid Shel Boker and the Tamid Shel Bar Arbaim so that people could bring the Nedarim and Nedavos. That was, generally speaking, why we moved it up only 1 hour and not moved it up to 12:30, because we wanted to give time for people to bring the Nedarim and Nedavos. But Shabbos, you don't have that argument. I mean, you don't have that reason. On Shabbos, there is no neder, there is no nedava. Shabbos, no one's allowed to bring any karbanos other than ones prescribed for Shabbos. So now, Shabbos, the argument is, move up, as long as we're moving up anyway, move up the tamid all the way to 12:30 in the afternoon, and that frees up the remainder after the remainder of the afternoon. So and according to Abaye, that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says, move it all the way up to 12:30. Now, according to Abaye, Rabbi Yishmael says, no, don't move it up to 12:30, only leave it at 1:30. Like if Erev Pesach fall out during the week. So why would that be? So the Gemara explained yesterday, there are other considerations, other factors. Notably, what would be the schedule of the Karban Musaf and the Bazichin? And the Gemara went through yesterday, according to Abaye, that's another machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Yishmael, what exactly is the schedule? The Karban Musaf is offered at 11 a.m., finished at 12. According to Rabbi Yishmael, then comes the bazichin, right? The bazichin are the two spoonfuls of lavona that are offered so that the kohanim can eat the lechem upon him. That's a process that takes an hour. Rashi says it may take even a little bit more than an hour. Anyway, it finishes about 1 o'clock, 1:15. That's why on Erev Pesach, the falls on Shabbos, the tamid now is scheduled for 1:30. Finished at 2:30, and now that frees up the rest of the afternoon for Karban Pesach. That's Abaye according to Rabbi Yishmael. And Abaye according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says no. Offer the Tamid at 12:30. Finish it at 1:30. What about the Bazichin? So Rabbi Akiva says the Bazichin are done earlier in the day. The Bazichin are done before the Karban Musaf, so we don't have to worry about the Bazichin. And so, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Abaye, you are going to do Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim at 12:30, finish at 1:30, given the remainder of the afternoon. Okay, that's Abaye's understanding of the b'risa. What was Rava's understanding of the b'risa? Different. His understanding of the b'risa was that there's a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva has us doing it at has us offering the Tamashal Bein Arabayim on a, like any regular Erev Pesach, meaning not 2:30 in the afternoon, but rather 1:30 in the afternoon. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, no. The Tamashal Bein Arabayim is offered at the regular 2:30 slot. Even though it's Erev Pesach, the Tamashal Bein Arabayim is offered at the regular 2:30 slot, obviously finishing up at 3:30, giving a very short 2.5 hour window for the Jewish people to bring the Karban Pesach. Now that was Rava's pshat. And what was motivating Rava to give that pshat? So as we discussed yesterday's daf, first of all, the wording of the brisa fits a little bit better. And number two, as the Gemara explained, according to Rava, what's the concern, what's the chief concern of Rabbi Yishmael? The spoiling of the meat. Meaning because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be shechting the Karban Pesach in the afternoon, and then we have to wait till Shabbos is over before we can start roasting the Karban Pesach. So you have that time where the meat's just going to be sitting there, and no refrigeration and no preservation of the meat. So if I'm shechting the meat early in the afternoon, so when I have all that time for the remainder of Shabbos where the meat's going to go bad, the meat's going to spoil. So therefore what he does is he forces us, all the Jewish people, to shecht later in the afternoon. And the way by forcing is by offering the Tamashal Bein Arabayim at the regular 2:30 slot, finishing at 3:30. Now, nobody's going to be shechting the Karban Pesach early in the afternoon. Everyone's going to be shechting late in the afternoon. Yes, it's going to be riskier because you're only given a 2.5 hour window, but that shortens the amount of time where the meat can spoil. And therefore, Rabbi Yishmael has that Erev Pesach following a regular weekday schedule. Okay, that is Rava's interpretation. Let me just say it now very succinctly. According to Abaye, the times are going to be either, the times of the Tamashal Bein Arabayim is either going to be 1:30 or 12:30. That's according to Abaye. And according to Rava, the times are going to be either 2:30 or 3:30. Okay. I'm sorry, 1:30, 2:30. Yes. Yeah, I assume so. In other words, there's a Chagigas Yudalid. The Chagiga overriding Shabbos, I should know the answer to that. I'm not sure. I think the Chagigas Yudalid, there are two Chagigas. We'll talk about the Chagiga later. And I'm sure at that point in time I'll know better whether the Chagiga is going to override Shabbos or not. Right now, it's a Karban Pesach discussion, but I should know, to be honest. Yeah, I mean the mitzvah of Aliyah Regel. In general, on every yontif, there's a mitzvah of Aliyah Regel, and then on Pesach, there's an additional mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Okay, that's an outline of yesterday's daf, plus just a quick review of all the things we discussed yesterday. We're on Nunches Amud Beis, Meisve. And the Gemara now is going to challenge, and as you'll see, based on other brisas, one brisa is going to sound a lot like Abaye, another brisa is going to sound a lot like Rava. The Gemara is going to defend both positions, because, you know, that's the Gemara's job, to defend positions, assuming they're tenable positions, but, okay, and that'll start our morning off. We are on Nunches Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud, and the first word we should be looking for is Meisve. It's right in the beginning of the line. It's a little bit less than halfway down in the Amud, Meisve. So now the Gemara is going to challenge. And again, by the way, what I didn't go over this morning, which again, if you want to review yesterday's daf, is that there's a third interpretation of the Braisa, but that third interpretation has nothing to do with Erev Pesach. It's just a question of what's your regular Shabbos schedule. Okay. Meisve. The Gemara challenges. Here we have now a Braisa. Tamikol Hashana Krav Keo Chaso. The Tamid year-round is offered according to its halacha. It's offered 8.5 hours of the day and offered 9.5 hours to the day again. Regular, assuming a perfect day, it means it's offered at 2:30, finishing at 3:30. Uve erev ha Pesach. Now, what if it's erev Pesach? Nishcha b'zayin u'mechsa krav b'ches u'mechsa. So it's bumped up an hour. Offered at 1:30 in the afternoon, finished at 2:30 in the afternoon. Chalios b'Shabbos. Now, what if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Kechalios b'Sheni b'Shabbos. So then it's like falling out on a Monday. Div Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. In other words, Erev Pesach Shabbos is no different than Erev Pesach Monday. Okay? In other words, Erev Pesach Monday, what's that? 1:30 in the afternoon. Erev Pesach Shabbos, same, 1:30 in the afternoon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kisidur, Kisidur, Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, It's the order of Erev Pesach. Now, that's not really clear. What does that mean? Kisidur Erev Pesach. Okay, but Bishlam la bayinicha. But if you think about this brisa, read the brisa, a simple interpretation of the brisa goes exactly like Abaye. Because what did Abaye say? That according to Rabbi Yishmael, scheduling is going to be 1:30 in the afternoon. Right, the Tamishal Bein Arbaim is 1:30 in the afternoon. That's exactly what Abaye said. That's exactly Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. So that's perfect. That's exactly what the Braisa just said. But Ella Rav Akasha. But according to Rav, it's very difficult. Because remember, what did Rav say? Rav said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we go the other way. Meaning the carbon tamid of Erev Pesach on a Shabbos, if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, is offered at 2:30 in the afternoon. Right? It's not bumped up, it's bumped, well, I'd say down, but it goes to the regular schedule. But that's not what the Braisa says. So now we have a Braisa that really does not read well according to Rava. So I'm Lecha Rava. So the Gemara defends Rava's position. Lo tema kechal b'sheni b'shabbos ela ema kisheni b'shabbos da'ama. No, in other words, we're going to have to reread the Braisa. The Braisa, although in simple form, the Braisa reads, you know what it's like? It's like Erev Pesach falling out on a Monday. No, don't do that. Don't read it that way. But rather, the way to read it is, it's like Monday. Meaning, when on a regular Monday, when's the Tamid offered? 2:30 in the afternoon. On Shabbos, Erev Pesach, when is the Tamid offered? Same. 2:30 in the afternoon. Okay, that's how you're going to read the Braisa. And that way, now, the Braisa conforms to the position of Rava. Fine. Mesve. Here we now have a second braisa. Chalios b'Shabbos. If it falls down on Shabbos, if Erev Pesach falls down on Shabbos, kisiduro kol hashana kulo. So you know what the schedule is? Regular weekday schedule, which means 2:30 in the afternoon. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Already, we could pause right here in the braisa. Who does this braisa sound like? Sounds like Rava. It's exactly how Rava understood Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer Kisidur Be'erev Pesach. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it follows the Erev Pesach schedule. Da'ama, the general Erev Pesach schedule. Now, Bisham L'Rava Nicha, now according to Rava, that's perfect. Because now we have Rabbi Shmuel going at what time? The Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim going at 2:30 in the afternoon, which is exactly how Rava understood Rabbi Shmuel. Ela Abaye Kasha, but according to Abaye now becomes very difficult, because what did Abaye say? That according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's 1:30 in the afternoon, not 2:30 in the afternoon. Amalcha Abaye lo tema kisidur kol hashana, ela ema kisidur kol hashanim kulan, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So again, Abaye is going to just simply reread the Braisa. Even though the Braisa says kol hashana, and we thought that meant, you know, it's like the regular schedule every day. Every day of the year. No. It's the regular yearly schedule. The yearly schedule means what basically we do on general Erev Pesach. General Erev Pesach, when do we do it? 1:30 in the afternoon. Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos? Same. 1:30 in the afternoon. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kisidur Erev Pesach, Shechalos Be'erev Shabbos. And then now that we have that pshat in Rabbi Shmuel, so then we're going to say that what does Rabbi Kiva obviously argues? So he says not 1:30, but rather 12:30. Because again, according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Akiva, I bump it all the way up to the early part of the afternoon, 12:30 in the afternoon, freeing up the rest of the afternoon. Period. Adkan. Okay, so in other words, so what we now just saw are two braisas. One in a simple reading reads like Abaye. The second in a simple reading reads like Rava. And the Gemara defends both counter opinions and rereads the braisa according to each of the other opinions. Okay, what have we accomplished so far? So we reviewed yesterday's daf. We saw two braisas, each one supporting either Abaye or Rava's interpretation respectively. And now we are continuing in the Gemara. We're in Tanu Rabbanan. We're about 2/3 of the way down. And now what we're going to be seeing is some of the very basics, meaning schedule of the day. Meaning the way we started the perek was with assumptions. Assumptions that, of course, we all knew. None of us knew it. Right? That's the way the Gemara generally works. The Gemara generally works by telling us something, thinking we know the assumptions. And then the Gemara is going to go back down and just basically fill in those assumptions that we knew. Right, the assumption is no carbon can be brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. How do we know that? Okay, that's what we're about to discuss. The exception being the carbon Pesach, which is offered after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. How do we know that? So again, the Braisa is about to tell us. So here we are going to have a Braisa that's going to take a step backwards and basically explain to us all those assumptions that we knew yesterday, but Now we're going to actually see it inside. Tana Rabbanan, we learned on a brisa. Minayin shelo yei davar kodem l'tamei shel shachar. How do I know that nothing can come before the tamei shel shachar? As I described yesterday, the tamei shel shachar, tamei shel bein arba'im, the daily carbon tamids are like the bookends of the day. No carbon is brought before the tamei shel shachar, and no carbon is brought after the tamei shel bein arba'im. So we start with the first part of the day. No carbon is brought before the tamei shel shachar. How do I know that? Tamei lomar va'arach aleha ha'ola, and I organize the ola. So, and that tells me that nothing can be brought before the tamei shel shachar. Now, first of all, the Torah doesn't say that that's talking about the tamei shel shachar. And so where in this pasuk do we see that nothing should be offered before the tamei shel shachar? That's the Gemara's very next question. My Tamuda. Amarava ha'ola ola rishona. It's the hey ayidia, the hey that comes before the word ola, the ola. Meaning, if I'm going to point to any ola, meaning ola just is a simple generic term for carbon ola, but it doesn't say a carbon ola, it says the carbon ola. It's the one that's brought first every day. So now we've identified the ha ola referring to the tamei shel shachar. So the so the way we're going to understand the pasuk is that is the first carbon that comes daily. No carbon comes before that. That's the first part of the day. Now we go the other direction, or the other half of the day. Minayin she'ein davar krav achar tamei shel bein arba'im? What about the tamei shel bein arba'im? No carbon can come after that. Tamei lomar v'hiktir aleha chelvei hashlamim. And I burn on it chelvei hashlamim, the fats of the shlamim. Now my tamuda, now again, where in that pasuk does it indicate that nothing can be offered after the tamei shel bein arba'im? Amar Abaye, aleha shlamim, velo al chaverta shlamim. On it comes shlamim, but not on anything else comes shlamim. Meaning, according to Abaye, Abaye's understanding of the pasuk is that the word shlamim means the word shlamim means carbon shlamim, meaning and. After the morning tamid is an ola, after the morning tamid, you'll bring all your shlamim you want, but that's it. Meaning, after the tamid shel bein arba'im, you can't bring any other shlamim. So Maskov Rava says, what a strange interpretation, and what a limiting interpretation. So Ema shlamim hu delo nakrev, ha'olas nakrev. That only tells me that I can't bring shlamim after the tamid shel bein arba'im. But what if it's not a shlamim? What if it's a chatas? What if it's an ola? Sounds like I could bring that. So Elam Rava hashlamim, aleha hashlem kol hakarbanos. We're going to play on the word hashlamim. Now, usually hashlamim means karban shlamim. But here, though, the word hashlamim also comes from the word hashlama. Hashlama, tam v'nishlam. We're finished. We're done. Meaning, when you get to the tamei shel bein arba'im, that is nishlam. That's a conclusion of the karbanos. No karban is brought afterwards. So, and now the Torah says don't. The Torah says do. Meaning, the Torah says hashlem. With the tamei shel bein arba'im, you finish off the day of karbanos. No carbon can be brought after the tamei shel bein arba'im. Aleha hashlem kol hakarbanos kulam. This is what's called a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment. The Torah is telling us positively that you offer the afternoon carbon, the tamei shel bein arba'im, and that's the last carbon of the day. And obviously, by inference, by simple inference, we understand. Because that's the last carbon of the day, we're not allowed to bring a carbon after that. Okay, in yeshiva terminology, we call this an iser aseh, a prohibition based on a positive commandment. Meaning, because the Torah tells us what to do, so as a result of that, what that must mean is we also know what not to do. If the tamei shel bein arba'im has to be the last carbon of the day, we now understand we're not allowed to bring a carbon after that. It's a iser aseh. It's a prohibition based on a positive commandment. Fine. Tana Rabbanan, and now the Gemara continues the discussion. Tamid kodem lePesach. The carbon tamid. Now, obviously, we're talking about the tamid shel bein arba'im. The tamid comes before the carbon Pesach. Meaning, although we just stated that nothing comes after the tamid shel bein arba'im, that's the rule, and like every rule, there's an exception here. The big exception to the rule is carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach is offered after the tamid shel bein arba'im. Pesach kodem lKetores, uKetores kodemus lNeres. Now, even though all that's true, there's still going to be two more activities in the Beis HaMikdash that occur after the Karban Pesach, and that is Ketores followed then by Neros. Okay, Ketores, incense. Incense is burnt daily in the Beis HaMikdash. They prepare the incense in the beginning of the year. They make enough for 365 days. Usually in the Jewish year, there are not 365 days, there are only 354 days. So obviously there's a difference of 11. Okay, not for now. Another time we'll discuss how they make up the difference, how they do the accounting on that. But in other words, for our purposes, all we need to know is that the Ketores is offered daily. They have a mana of Ketores offered daily. What they do is they divide the Ketores. Half of the Ketores is burnt in the morning. Half the Ketores is burnt in the afternoon. Also, we know the Ketores is not burnt on the outer Mizbeach. The Ketores is burnt on the inner Mizbeach. But again, the Ketores is burned as part of the concluding part of the day. According to this Braisa, the Ketores comes after the Karban Pesach. And then, after that, Neros, meaning menorah. Every night in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah is lit. It's, according to this Braisa, the last activity of the day. Even on Erev Pesach, where I have the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim, and afterwards I have the Karban Pesach, then only after the Karban Pesach, then the conclusion of the day, the Kohanim burn the Ketores, and then the Kohanim burn the Neros. Okay. And now explanation. Top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Why? Why is this the order? So the Gemara now goes on to explain. Time, I'm sorry. Yuchar davar shenemar bo ba'erev ubein harbayim. L'davar shelo nemar bo ba'erev ela bein harbayim bilvad. So first of all, the Tamid shel bein harbayim versus Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach should come later. Why? Very simple. Because when the Torah describes the Tamid shel bein harbayim, it just simply says it's the afternoon offering. That's the Tamid shel bein harbayim. When the Torah describes the Karban Pesach, the Torah gives two descriptive terms to describe the Karban Pesach. It describes it as both Bein Arbayim and Erev. So in other words, it's a afternoon slash evening Karban. Now I say evening, I don't mean nighttime. We know, no Karban at night. There is no Karban that's brought at night. But in other words, it's a later in the afternoon Karban. Just the simple adjectives describing the Karban Pesach indicate to us that it's a later afternoon. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi quotes the Psukim, right? Time of Dereisha Kamefarish, Tami Konalap. I'm reading the first Rashi on the Amud. Konalap Pesach, the din hu shiuchar Pesach shenemar bo ba'erev, ubein arbaim tizbach es ha-Pesach ba'erev. So Rashi quotes one Pesach from Parshas Re'eh. Right, v'shachtu oso. So we have and Parsha Shmos. So we have two psukim describing the Karban Pesach, both using the term ba'erev and bein arabayim. L'tamid shelo nemar bo ela es hakeves hashini ta'aseh bein arabayim. And meanwhile, the Karban Tamid it only says bein arabayim. So therefore, the Karban Pesach comes after the tamid shel bein arabayim. Okay. So ihachi back to the Gemara, three lines down on the Amud. Ketores v'neros nami nikdemu lePesach. So if that's true, so then we should offer the Ketores and the Neros before the Pesach, because again, the Pesach, the Torah describes as being Bein Arbaim and Ba'erev. So shouldn't the Karban Pesach be the last? So the Gemara says, no, Davish and Emor Bo Be'erev Bein Arbaim. I'm sorry, this is a continuation of the Gemara's question. Davish and Emor Bo Be'erev Bein Arbaim, Davish and Emor Bo Ela Bein Ha'arbaim Belvad. Shani Hasim, the Gemara answers, no. I'm going to offer the Ketores and the Neros afterwards. Why? Demir Rachmana Oso. Because when describing the Neros, the Torah says, that's it. Meaning, after the Neros, what should there be? Nothing. There should be nothing after the Neros. The Neros should be the last thing done of the day. D'tanya, and how do I know that? Because the Torah says, Me'erev ad boker. Tein la midasa shetei dolekes me'erev ad boker. First of all, how much oil should I put in the menorah? Very simple. Enough oil to last the entire night. Meaning the purpose of the menorah is that it's going to be lit over the duration of the night. So therefore, make sure that we put enough oil in that lights in the entire night. Dava acher, ein lecha avoda shekshirav me'erev ad boker, ela zu bilvad. And this is the only avoda that's ksher at night. Meaning, there's no other avoda that's ksher at night, except for the lighting of the menorah. So, my time, amakra, yaroch, oso, aharon, uvanav, me'ervad boker. And I light it, meaning oso, it's an exclusionary term. Every time we see the word oso, or something similar to it, It's exclusionary. This is the only avoda that is performed at night. Only this is done from evening until morning. Nothing else is done from evening until morning. So now I know that the lighting of the menorah is done as we enter into the evening. So the lighting of the menorah cannot come before the Karban Pesach, because then that means that I'm going to have the lighting of the menorah and then we're going to have Karban Pesach. We can't have that. So the last thing that's done in the day is lighting the menorah. So therefore, the order is going to be, the timeline of Erev Pesach is going to be the Tamashal Bein Arba'im, followed then by Karban Pesach of the Jewish people, followed then by the menorah. Now, how does the Ketorah is kind of just like snuck in there? So the Gemara says, V'itkish Ketorah l'Neros. No, because we have a pasuk connecting the Ketorah and the Neros. I burn the Ketorah, I burn the Ner. So therefore, the Ketorah is kind of like an attachment to the Ner. So I burn the Ketorah together with the Ner. So both of those come together as like a bundle package after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Okay. Adkan. So that is going to be now our schedule. I mentioned this already a number of times, just good information to know. The menorah is burnt at night, as per what the Torah says. Is the menorah also burning during the daytime? So most Rishonim will say, no, it's not burnt during the daytime. Well, now why do most Rishonim say that? Because that's what the Torah says. We just saw the pasuk inside. The pasuk seems to indicate, may erev ad boker. I burn it from the evening until morning. So the menorah is only lit at night. Now, you can also make a very rational argument, although I don't know how good rational arguments get you when learning Torah. But in other words, that's the only time you need it to be lit, because it's nighttime. But that's not a really good argument. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about, who needs to see right now? But anyway, but the simple pshat in the Torah is that the menorah is lit at night. The Rambam is of the opinion, very interesting, a discussion in of itself. The Rambam is of the opinion that the menorah is lit at night, and he writes that's also lit during the day as well. Even though it doesn't, from our Gemara, from the Pasuk in the Torah, the simple pshat is the menorah is only lit at night, but the Rambam says it's also relit for the day as well. Okay, just in general, good information to know. But in the meantime, however, how do we have it as our schedule? Tamashe Ben Arbayim, what time is it offered? Okay, so that you can go back to yesterday's daf. But the Tamashe Ben Arbayim is offered, let's say 1:30, regular of Pesach is offered at 1:30, finished at 2:30, and then the Karban Pesach of the entire Jewish people. It's the way we have it set up now. It's a 3.5 hour window in the afternoon from 2:30 until 6 p.m. You have now the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im of the Jewish people, and according to the Brisa we just learned, and then Kohanim are left in the Beis HaMikdash offering the Ketores and lighting of the menorah. Okay, good. V'tanya. V'tanya ki kushyan. Now the Gemara says we have a brisa that we have a brisa that goes like our question. What does that mean? It means that the Gemara a moment ago asked, shouldn't the Karban Pesach come later? Since the Torah says ba'erev when describing the Karban Pesach. So we're going to have a brisa over here that goes against the previous brisa and basically follows the logic of the questioner, not the answer. Let's see it inside. Tamid kodem l'ketores, we have the Karban Tamid. Okay, again, on a regular Erev Pesach offered at 1:30 in the afternoon. Then at 2:30, we don't start with the Karban Pesach, but Ketores. And then Ketores Kodemus Laneiros, and then we light the menorah. Now again, we're lighting the menorah now early in the afternoon, but we have to. Because according to this Brisa, the Karban Pesach should be the last thing of the day. Veneiros Kodemus Pesach. And then the last thing of the day is the Karban Pesach. Why? Yucha Davish and Emar Boba Erev Ubein Arbayim. Because when the Torah describes the Karban Pesach, it says the words Bein Arbayim, and it also says the words Ba'erev, which means that the Karban Pesach should be the very last thing that's done in the day. All other avodas should be done earlier, including the Ketores and the Menorah. V'haksiv Oso, now the Gemara says, what about the Oso that we talked about earlier? Which sounds like that nothing should be done after the menorah. Hayoso mibay lelemute avodah shebifnim. You're right. Oso means nothing should be done after the menorah. But nothing after the menorah interior, meaning in the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. What the Gemara refers to as avodah bifnim. Umay niu ketores, meaning, look, at the end of every day, Kohanim, a couple of Kohanim are going to go into the actual Heichal, they're going to go into the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, and they have two things they have to accomplish. They have to burn the Ketores, and they have to light the menorah. Of those two, which activity should come first? The Ketores. Why? Because when the Torah says menorah, the Torah says the Kohen lights it from evening until morning. Nothing else should be done after the menorah. So, but that's limited to activities done in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the temple courtyard, where we're shechting Karm Pesach, that could be done afterwards. That could be shechted after the menorah. Because the simple pshat in the Torah indicates that I light menorah and then I burn ketores. So, Ema Nadignera Beresha Vahadur Nakhtir Ketores. The simple pshat in the Torah would indicate that first we light the menorah and then we burn the ketores. Miet Rachmano Oso. Ella, I'm sorry, Miet Rachmano Oso. So therefore the Torah says the word Oso to tell me no, that's not the correct order. The correct order is first burn the Ketores, then light the menorah. Ella Bein Ha'arbayim Yaktiren Olamali. And now, what do I do with the Pasuk? The Pasuk sounds like I light the menorah, then I burn the Ketores. Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says no. The Pshan the Pasuk is Hachem Rachmano Be'idan de Madlekes Neros Tehe Miktara Ketores. At the time when the candles are lit, the ketores should already have been burnt. Meaning the ketores should be in a state of burnt. Okay, that's how we understand the pasuk. Okay, quick summary. We have two brisas in terms of orders of the order of the afternoon of Erev Pesach. The first brisa says, Tamashal Ben Arbayim, Karban Pesach, Ketores and Menorah. A second brisa says, no, Tamashal Ben Arbayim, Ketores menorah, and then the Karban Pesach. Second Brisa is focusing on the fact that the Torah describes the Karban Pesach using both the terms Bein Arbayim and Ba'erev. And the first Brisa is focusing on the fact that when the Torah describes menorah, the Torah says that's it. That should be the last thing you're doing in the day. There should be nothing else done after the menorah. Okay.
This is true for the entire year. I mean,
for the entire year, for the entire year, we're not going to be debating because we're all in agreement. Tamash Obein Arbaim is the last carbon of the day, and then Ketores Menorah follows that.
Right.
That's during That's during the rest of the year. It's now going to be a question of Erev Pesach when I know I'm fitting in the Karban Pesach after the Tamash Obein Arbaim. So is it going to be before Ketores Menorah? Is it going to be after Ketores Menorah? And that's the debate between the two brisos. The Rambam follows the second brisa, meaning the Rambam says that it's Tamid, Ketores Menorah, and then the Karban Pesach.
On Fridays also, like if Erev Pesach.
Yeah, I assume that would be true for any if Erev Pesach falls out any day of the week. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, another brisa. Ein lecha davar shekodem l'tamid shel shachar ela Ketores bavad. Shenem rabo baboker. What's offered before the Tamashel Shachar? The answer is nothing. But again, like we discussed time and again, with every rule there's an exception. The only exception is Ketores. Why? Because the Torah says Baboker Baboker. The Yukdam Ketores Davish Lonemar Baboker Baboker Dichtiv Ikir Ala Aron Ketores Samim Baboker Baboker the Davish Lonemar Bo Ela Boker Echad. And again, why? Because when the Torah describes Ketores, it says Baboker Baboker. Now again, the simple pshat in the pasuk is it just simply means daily, but it also means daily by the Talmud as well. The Ketores, since the Torah uses the descriptive terms of baboker baboker, it means our interpretation now is going to be really early in the morning, meaning real morning. So that means the Ketores comes first, and then after that, the Talmud Shel Shachar, the morning Talmud. Ve'en lechadav shemetakev achar Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim el Ketores v'neros u'pesach. Now, what comes after the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim? Meaning, the general exception is nothing comes after the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim. But what are the exceptions? What exceptionally comes after the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim? So like we just discussed, the Ketores comes afterwards, the Neros comes afterwards, the Karban Pesach comes afterwards, and also Mechusa Kippurim be'erev haPesach shetov al sheniz va'ochel es pitzchol la'erev. And there's another exception as well, and that's Mechusa Kippurim. Okay, let me give a little bit of background, and we'll all understand why this is another exception. This carbon too will be offered after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. So what is Mechusar Kippurim? So we discussed this a number of times back in Seder Kodshim, and now we're discussing it again. Let's take a Mitzara as an example. Okay, it could be a Zav, could be a Zava, could be Yoledes, but okay, let's take a Mitzara for example. A Mitzara has just finished his Saras, he's cured, he's been given a clean bill of health from the Kohen, and now he has to go through a purification process. Open up the beginning of Parshas Mitzora, and you're going to go and you'll see the whole purification process inside. We're just going to be focusing on the end of the purification process. It's a week-long process of purification, and it concludes on day 7 by him going to the mikvah, and then he at the night of the 7th, he's tahor. Okay, now he can go back into the camp and he can rejoin the Jewish people. Okay, he is rehabilitated. Okay, but, and this is an important but, he can't enjoy, he can't eat a karban. The truth of the matter is he can't even go into the Beis HaMikdash. Until the 8th day of his purification process. What occurs on the 8th day of his purification process? He needs to bring karbanos. Now the Mitzorah, the reason why I use him as the example, is because the Torah says that on the 8th day of his purification, he has to bring 3 karbanos. A karban ola, a karban asham, and a karban chatas. And not in that order, but okay, we'll get to order in just a second. He's got to bring 3 karbanos. On the 8th day, when he brings those 3 karbanos, now, he was already pure the night prior, but now he can go into the Beis HaMikdash and now he can eat karbanos. That's why he's given the descriptive term of Mechusar Kippurim. He is lacking atonement. That means that he's deficient. He can't eat a karban until he brings his own personal karbanos. Fine. That's the Mitzora and the status of Mechusar Kippurim. Now, huh? Well, I'll answer that question in just a second. So now, let's imagine that his 8th day of purification falls on Erev Pesach. Okay. So now, tonight's an important night, meaning tonight we're all going to sit down together as Jewish people, we're all going to eat Karban Pesach. But right now, he can't, because he's deficient. He hasn't brought his karbanos yet. So what he needs to do is he needs to bring his karbanos. Now, if he's a timely individual, if he's organized, he'll bring his karbanos in the morning. Therefore, it won't present a problem. But what if? What if he didn't bring his karbanos in the morning? Whatever, he was disorganized, whatever the case was. And now the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im has already been brought. And now, the only exception so far we've learned is you can only bring the Karban Pesach. But he's stuck. Because for him, it's the 8th day of his purification process. And he hasn't brought his own personal karbanos of the chatas, asham, and ola. And now he's stuck. And now what is he going to do? So, this is what the Bryce is telling us. That this person is also going to be an exception to the rule. This person can also bring his karbanos after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. He can bring his karbanos on the afternoon, even though it's after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. Now, as we learned in the beginning of today's daf, that there's an iser to do so, again, with exception to Karban Pesach, meaning the Torah's, the pasuk we quoted earlier was, v'yiktir aleh chavei hashlamim, and we learned that there's this idea of hashlama, that after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, you're not allowed to bring another karban, but he has a mitigating circumstance. If he doesn't bring his karbanos, he won't be allowed to enjoy the Karban Pesach. So therefore, he also is given a dispensation. He's also allowed to bring his karbanos even after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. That's what the Braisa means when the Braisa says he's the other exception to the rule. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Ach Mechusar Kippurim B'Shar Yemos HaShana, Shetova V'Ocha B'Kashem La'Erev. So then the Braisa concludes with an opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that this is not just true for Erev Pesach, this is true year-round. Meaning on any given year, any given day of the year, if this disorganized Mitzorah didn't bring his karbanos before the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, he's allowed to bring it afterwards as well. So that he can enjoy karban year-round. Now the Gemara says, look, Bishlam l'tanakam yavo aseh depesach sheish bo kares v'yitcha aseh da'ashlam ashen bo kares. I really understand the Tanakama. Meaning, I can hear very easily the argument on Erev Pesach, give this poor Metzorah a special dispensation. Because look what he's looking at right now. If I don't bring my karbanos, I won't be able to eat Karban Pesach. Eating Karban Pesach is important. Now, every mitzvah is important. How come we're saying eating Karban Pesach is super important? Well, the Gemara says, look, if I don't eat Karban Pesach, it's subject to the punishment of Kares. So there is a prohibition in the Torah that you shouldn't bring any Karban after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim, but I can make the argument very easily, but Karban Pesach, Chisser Kares, you know what? Give him a dispensation. Let him violate the Isser of Hashlama so that he can eat Karban Pesach in the evening. So then I understand Erev Pesach. But Ella le Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rav Yochum Mebroka, my ume da hayase, me hayase. But Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rav Yochum Mebroka says, you know what? Extend it year round? I don't understand. Okay, eating carbon is very important. But not violating the Isra of Hashlama, that's also really important. And now it's a mitzvah sase versus a mitzvah sase. Why are you giving weight to more than one than the other? On Erev Pesach, we can easily make the argument of why give weight to one over the other, because Karban Pesach has an Isser Kares. But year-round, I'll simply say to the Metzorah, look, it's too late today, come back tomorrow, bring your Karbanos tomorrow. Oh, you can't eat Karban? I'm sorry you can't eat Karban, but okay, there's an Isser of it. Oh, so, perfect question. So one suggestion in defense of Rav Yochanan ben Broka is, we're not talking about any carbon, but we're talking specifically about Chatas Ha'of. Chatas Ha'of, because what is the Isser of Hashlama? The Isser of Hashlama is not to burn another carbon after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. Interestingly enough, when it comes to the bird Chatas, there is no burning. The bird Chatas, what happens with it? Is that the neck is snapped by the Kohen. The Kohen sprinkles the blood on the Mizbech, and that's it. And the Kohanim eat the bird. So in other words, there is no violation of Hashlama because we're not burning a carbon after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. It's just blood, and blood is not a violation of Hashlama. That's our first approach.
The Masura is not eating it.
Correct, but another right, but we're not. You're right, but we're not violating Hashlama because there's no burning on the Mizbeach. Okay, so let's just quickly.
Why is he insisting to do it today? Because he's going to be eating it anyways.
Well, he won't be eating that, but what he will be doing is he'll be able now to eat other karbanos. If I can direct you, what your question should be now is, but that's only one of his karbanos. Okay. There are two others that we need to talk about. Okay, well, that's going to be, if let's, you know, that's the direction we need to go. Okay, we're going to pause over here. This is not a great pausing spot, but we're going to pause over here. Okay, so again, a quick review of yesterday's daf. Then we talked about the basics, meaning nothing before the Tamei Shel Shachar, with exception. Nothing after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim, with exception. And then we talked today about what can we bring after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. The answer is the Ketores, the Menorah, the Karban Pesach, and now Mechusar Kippurim. And for the remainder of today's daf, which we'll finish up tomorrow, we're going to discuss more about this Mechusar Kippurim, right? And the debate between the Tanakam and Rav Yochanan, and then we'll take us to tomorrow's daf. More about the Karban Pesach and Lishma discussions. Okay.